Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hello, D-Aliens. This is Kevin Wall filling in as the executive producer for the DA show this week. It was a trash Tuesday. The Baltimore Ravens preseason streak comes to an end. We also have a great epic fail for you. So sit back, listen, and enjoy.
A happy Tuesday, North America. The mothership reconnects. Welcome to this four-hour sports salmonella outbreak live from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, heard on affiliates nationwide and north of the border, the Free Odyssey app, the CBS Sports app, and SiriusXM Sports Channel 158. From Anchorage to Atlanta, Eugene, Happy Valley, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And here we are again on this beautiful Tuesday morning with you all the way until 10 a.m. Eastern. And once again, sad to announce that this is a radio-only radio show. Andrew Kaplan is off this week. DA is clearly off this week. So we're just doing a radio show for these 4 hours with me, Andrew Bogish. Once again, Kevin Wall is in charge. Ryan Botcher is to his left. And it is, as we spin the wheel of anchors, and we really did this morning, Peter Schwartz is in the building. If you don't follow our good friend Greg Caserta, the asset TV star, on social media, you haven't seen this yet, but sweet little Greg tweeted about a half an hour ago, oops, my bad, never did this before, was already in the car when I realized I'm not working today, I'm in tomorrow and Friday, not today and Thursday. So Greg was awake, showered, dressed, coming in, and then we got a little confused and worried that maybe also Schwartz would be confused. It would not be the first time that a scheduling snafu happened in these parts. So we were afraid that maybe Schwartz had his days flipped as well, and we'd have no anchors. But then the door swung open, and triumphantly Schwartz walked in, relieved we all are. So we are a full, mostly full happy family on this Trash Tuesday. We will do our trashes next hour. We'll read yours all morning long at CBS Sports Radio, at Andrew Bogish. You may imagine, and it's safe to assume, that I have a lot of material after spending a week in a relatively small apartment with my wife, two children, and three grandparents. My mom and dad, my mother-in-law. It was a lot on vacation last week. Some might say it wasn't a vacation. So we'll see what I can pick out of that cluster, you know what, for Trash Tuesday. And again, we'll do those next hour, yours all morning long. As usual, it is a very, very busy show. Not one, but two sounds of Saturdays today. We'll tackle Penn State with their radio voice, Steve Jones, and then the voice of the Ducks, Oregon football in our crosshairs with the one and only Jerry Allen. Those two gentlemen on the show in our final hour, 9 a.m. Eastern for Steve Jones, half an hour later for Jerry Allen. We have a small James Harden update as he continues to pout and stomp his feet and call people names in Philadelphia. Jonathan Taylor has permission to look for a new home. Can he find one? Who would want him? What will they pay for him? We'll discuss that this morning. John Angelos, the Orioles something, one of Peter Angelos' sons, is now the mouthpiece of the organization, said a few more things yesterday in the New York Times that do not help the cause whatsoever, both about the future of his very good baseball team and the way they handle the recent suspension of one of their announcers in Kevin Brown. Of course, we've got Stunned to a News. We've got your epic fail in advanced analytics. We've got the Ravens losing a preseason game last night for the first time since September of 2015. 24 consecutive preseason wins, a streak that made no sense, that I think proves almost nothing about anything football-related in Baltimore, but it ends last night in strangely thrilling preseason fashion in Washington, 29-28. Full details in Schwartz's updates and a couple of times here this morning, both from the Baltimore perspective and the Washington one, in particular with Sam Howell debuting officially as QB1 for this season, playing the first half and playing it fairly well last night for the Commanders. But we begin in college football. Trouble has been looming. At one point, we thought he'd be getting, agreeing to a 4-game suspension. That went off the board, and now Michigan self-imposing a shorter ban. But that's not the end of the trouble for Jim Harbaugh. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
As you probably already know, I mean, I can't, not allowed to talk about any aspect of that ongoing situation. And I'm with you. I mean, I'd love to lay it all out there. Nothing to be ashamed of. And but now is not that time. And that's about all there is to say about that.
Another twist in the Jim Harbaugh suspension story. The University of Michigan is now self-imposing a 3-game suspension on Harbaugh. This all stems back to recruiting violations during the pandemic. It appeared Harbaugh and the NCAA reached an agreement on a 4-game suspension. Then the NCAA Committee of Infractions denied that request. Michigan Athletic Director Ward Manuel releasing a statement on the suspension saying, quote, "While the ongoing NCAA matter continues through the NCAA process, today's announcement is our way of addressing mistakes that our department has agreed to in attempt to further that process."
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
The first voice you heard there, of course, was the aforementioned Jim Harbaugh. Then it was Thomas Cook on Fox 47 TV in Michigan sharing yesterday's developments in this situation. Now, we've had a lot of fun on this show, on the network, everywhere, basically, with the idea that all of this trouble stems from Coach Harbaugh buying recruits cheeseburgers. Now, that's a fun punchline. I believe our boy Gelb actually ate a cheeseburger on the air during a show in support of his beloved Jim Harbaugh. But then I think maybe Gelb actually backed off of that support as we found out more and more about the situation. Well, the NCAA went as far as to say the cheeseburger jokes are funny, but they're not what's going on here. If you're new to this story, what's going on here is during COVID, when you weren't allowed to deal with recruits, talk to recruits, run into recruits, Michigan did that. They also had guys who were not coaches coaching in different workouts. And then they had Coach Harbaugh lying about some of those things to investigators, which is really what amplified all of this to the serious level where it is now. And I don't know, a month ago, within the last 4 or 5 weeks, we were very close apparently to a negotiated 4-game suspension. And then the NCAA said, no, that's not good enough. Explain yourselves. So here we have Michigan yesterday. This is a Michigan punishment, self-imposing a 3-game ban on Harbaugh to start the new season. He will miss games that I assume they will be okay without him for: East Carolina, UNLV, and Bowling Green. He also can work Sunday through Friday. He just can't do the games on Saturday. So he's not gone for 3 weeks. He's gone for 3 game days, the 3 weaker-ish games on their entire schedule. The hope here for Michigan is that this gives some credit, or gets them some credit, with the NCAA as the process continues. The suspension in some eyes might go to as long as 6 games. So here's 3. and the other three might be next year. So instead of one long ban, which would carry them into some tougher games this year, he misses three warm-up games this year, and then theoretically three warm-up games next year. No big deal. Will be fine. But Michigan's trying to do this, or is doing it, trying to get ahead of the NCAA, take a little bit of steam off of their punishment, maybe just spread out what they're going to miss. There's no way the NCAA accepts this as case closed. I think there's universal agreement on that, is that this is not going to end the case. It might make the math a little bit better. It might make things a little more easy over 2 years, a little easier for Michigan to deal without Harbaugh and maybe never actually misses a game of importance where his influence on said game would really be missed. In particular this year, again, with all due respect to East Carolina, UNLV, and Bowling Green all going to Ann Arbor, those are games that Jim Harbaugh's staff can handle without him. I think the bigger concern here, though, is for Jim Harbaugh's future in terms of the NFL in Michigan. It feels a little Pete Carroll-ish, and Pete, who has turned himself into a tremendous NFL head coach at 71, is still out there recently throwing passes in practice, being all fun and cool and whatnot. And the Seahawks were much better last year than anyone expected and are clearly the number two team in the NFC West right now behind those 49ers. But Pete ran away from NCAA trouble at USC. When the hammer was about to drop, he was like, I'm out. Went to the NFL, and it's been almost clear sailing since then. The NCAA is not going away with Harbaugh. The main sin in all of this is his mistake, and apparently repeated mistake, of lying to investigators or withholding the truth, however you want to frame it, made mediocre violations become major violations and put all of these things in play with the possibility, again, of 6-game suspension when all things are said and done. But whoever is to blame for the situation exists where the NCAA is being the NCAA and is flexing muscles and puffing out his chest and being annoying and looking around and asking questions, demanding answers. And the fear, apparently, in some parts of Ann Arbor, because everybody knows that at some point Jim Harbaugh wants to be back in the NFL, that he wants to win a Super Bowl. I mean, we do this almost yearly, if not every 6 months, before and after every season, where Jim says he's not leaving, but he takes interviews. Now I'm really not leaving. The NFL flirtation is real. It is never going to go away until he's back in the NFL. And if you're looking for reasons for him to bail on Ann Arbor, the NCAA looming with stronger punishments and looking at different things and breathing down his back and making him answer questions he doesn't want to answer, that certainly could grease the skids for him to pack up shop and head back to the NFL. So they are kind of tiptoeing around this situation in Ann Arbor because they don't want to in any way influence the immediate future. But the immediate future is Jim Harbaugh's in trouble because Jim Harbaugh messed up. And this 3-game suspension with the opponents that it involves means almost nothing. And if he does the same thing next year to finish off things, it's not going to be that big of a deal either. But if you're afraid that he's living with one foot out the door and these problems keep cropping up and these annoyances keep staring him in the face, this is certainly not good news for you, because there was enough pressure on him at first to beat Ohio State, to get over the hump, to get in the CFP. That has gone away. But now there's a new problem, a new thing on the horizon, a new thing on his shoulder that could absolutely influence his decision to move away from you and head back to the NFL and give that one more chance to win a Super Bowl. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Off and running on this Tuesday edition of The Daw. Once again, it's Bogus in for DA. He is off all this week. He returns on Monday. Pete Bilotti returns on Friday of this week. Cannot wait for that. But if you were wondering, Pete remains Pete. Anger after anger after anger in his text messages yesterday amongst the group. It's a strange thing. It's hilarious, but also simultaneously, I just need Pete to take a break sometimes. We were talking about things that shouldn't make him angry, and his immediate thing was angry. Like, it was shared amongst the group, a coupon, a code for savings on Sunday ticket. Because we've all been going back and forth as a group trying to figure out the way we're going to handle this, right? Because we all were, me, D.A., Sean, we were all DirecTV subscribers. Me, just to be able to have access to Sunday ticket. So when they switched to YouTube TV and whatnot, we were trying to figure out what we're going to do. Are we going to go all in on YouTube TV? Do you just get the YouTube version? Do you try and just live off Red Zone and whatever they call it now, NFL Plus, where all the games archive so you can go back in after the fact and watch games that you wanted, whatever it is. So this has been a long-running conversation. And I think only Sean, or maybe he even didn't. No, I don't think any of us actually pounced on the initial like savings plan that they've been offering. But this is a free pub, I guess. If you right now for the next like 3 weeks, there's a deal. If you make a $5 bet through FanDuel, you can get $100 off of any of the packages for Sunday ticket at YouTube. So that gets sent into our group text yesterday, and I write back, "Oh, good, thanks. That's good. I'll be right back. I'm going to FanDuel." Pete's response is, "Great. Now it only cost $800. Dude, you're on vacation. It's your kid's third birthday, apparently, yesterday. You should be in a good mood. You should be knee-deep in cake and kids running around and wrapping paper.
That's the exact problem.
No.
He's in wrapping paper and all
no,
that.
No, 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 no.
End of the day.
No, he should be at the very, like, to be honest, he shouldn't be near his phone, right? It's Timmy's birthday. Maybe the family's over. They're opening gifts. They're having cake. He should just miss the text altogether. But instead, rapid fire, like his phone's open in his hand, writes back right away. Thanks for nothing. It's not $800 post discount. It's still expensive. But everybody else was thankful for the tip, and this guy is yelling about how expensive it still is. And he doesn't need it. He's not going to buy it.
It's because he's maybe a DraftKings user.
Oh, you think that's what it is?
He can't destroy his reputation with his other
You think
platforms.
His non-compulsive gambling goes through DraftKings,
yeah.
And he's brand loyal. Mm-hmm. He doesn't appreciate FanDuel doing this. That's a good thought. I didn't have that thought. And he is a man of principles, the body. So I could see that being in play for him here. That he's mad at DraftKings for not giving him the deal. Because they're his boys. And they take all his money when he bets 75 cents. I lost my bet, by the way. I don't know why. Like, it's a $5 bet. It means nothing. But I spent like 20 minutes finding the right thing to bet my $5 on to get my $100 coupon for YouTube TV, for Sunday ticket.
It wasn't the Ravens money line, was it?
No, but I settled on Commanders money line plus the under. And I was half right.
I think the line was only like 38.
It was 37.5 when I bet it. And I bet it in the first quarter. It was 7-3. Whenever it was 7-3, that's when I bet it. I'm like, nah, I think I'm going to be okay here. And I was only right about the Commanders winning. But whatever, it was only $5. But I took way too long to decide on a throwaway bet that made Pete super angry for no reason. I've got a thing that can make us all feel better. It's been too long since we heard one of our good friends in soundcheck. It's not Jody Mack. It's not a Schwartz. It's somebody else that you know and you love dearly. The last time we heard him or her on the show, they were saying goodbye to Shawnee during that final week on the air earlier this summer. So you've got that. You've got some NFL sound. It's all in soundcheck, and it's next on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And Soundcheck is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Let us begin Soundcheck in the NFL. The Russell Wilson Renaissance Tour has been going on all summer long. Try to figure out why Russ was so bad last year. Maybe it was all Nathaniel Hackett's fault, as Sean Payton would like you to believe. But here's Russ saying last season's debacle, just part of his career. There are better days ahead.
you go through a journey, you know, and you go through, you know, I want to play 20 plus years, you know, so when you go through that, there's going to be some tough moments. There's going to be some highs, there's going to be some lows, a lot more highs than lows. But I think knowing that to weather storms, knowing how to, you know, take everything and understand that, you know, gratitude and love for this game, it never changes, it never wavers on your best days or your toughest days, knowing that the best days are ahead. And so I got great people around me, you know, in terms of teammates, the coaching staff and Coach Payton and the rest of the staff has done a tremendous job of just teaching us every day. My love for the game is, you know, never wavers.
Did he say anything in there? Or was it just fluffy words and cliches?
Nothing.
Russ is not as bad as he was last year. I mean, the whole thing was a disaster. He had a hand in it, no doubt about that. So I think he'll be better than... He can't be worse than last year. He'll be better than he was last year. How much better is the question? And not much is my initial answer here, because when other things get smoothed out, we still have a Russell Wilson who's not young anymore, is a little more prone to injuries now, has a little less ability to make up for other issues. And, you know, there's some nice talent on that Broncos roster, but they struggle to stay healthy. Javonte Williams is coming back at running back, but Tim Patrick is hurt and gone again. You know, it was nice when he had DK Metcalf and Lockett and other guys in Seattle, and he's got to find those weapons here in Denver to make him max out who he is right now. Still an above-average quarterback, but he's getting, you know, further down the list of that actual elite group.
He will definitely be better on the field, but he's still going to be an annoying turd off the field with his press conferences.
Yes.
And then, look at the division that he's playing in. Sean Payton can only do so much when you're going up against Mahomes and Herbert.
Yeah. Now, the Chargers, I think, will always help you out by being the Chargers and leaving the door open for some, unless one day they decide to do some kind of seance, sacrifice some chickens or something like that in their locker room and get some of that bad kind of mojo away. But yes, the Chiefs are the problem. Russell Wilson's age is the problem. And overall, Russell Wilson is the problem.
Limited.
Unlimited cliches, unlimited throwaway lines, unlimited bad diarrhea jokes. I mean, silly cliches and mottos. Let's actually hope. Let's hope that they're okay. Because I actually think if they're good, there'll be slightly less material for him to be annoying. If he needs to defend what's going on and explain more struggles and have to find more philosophical ways to explain why things are not going well, that's a losing Russ is more annoying than a winning Russ.
No doubt in my mind.
So maybe we should hope for them to be at least like 10-7 to just spare us some Russell annoyance.
The Broncos got 8-9 written all over them for the next couple years.
Who had this on their bingo card? Bill Belichick went to a Taylor Swift show?
Officially? I don't know about that, but I don't know what officially
seems like,
is.
Seems like Aaron Rodgers is.
Yeah. What does that mean? Like you have a sweatshirt or something?
You can have a few.
Yeah.
You can good
sing
merch.
I think you can sing some of the lyrics. You know, it's, you know, I don't know. I mean, they were selling rainwater the for $70 a jar or something like that.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm definitely on the you got to calm down.
Okay, he's a Swiftie.
That's pretty good. Like you got to calm down. That's
one of our best.
There's a lot of times when that's very appropriate.
So he's not officially a Swiftie, but he's making jokes with Taylor Swift. Song titles?
He's like a grandpa that goes to one concert. He hears one song he kind of remembers because he wasn't paying attention for half the concert. And he's like, oh, I like that. And I'm going to try to be funny. And he says it every time he can. And it doesn't come off well.
I actually don't know the family dynamics of the Belichick clan. Like, does he have zero? Does he have six grandkids? I've got no idea. All I know is him and the son with the bad haircut who has a job that he shouldn't have on the Patriots staff.
We don't know anything about Bill Belichick's contract. We don't know anything about the family other than the son.
I will say this. Mutual friends is not the correct description. But people that I know him, he is a far more fun person in reality than he will ever let you understand as the coach of the Patriots.
I mean, yeah, you saw him, what was it, in that Celtic game during the playoff run? He's just in the suite, like, eating a hot dog or something like
right.
that?
Fun, funny, sarcastic. Like, there's a whole part of Bill Belichick that we're just not allowed to get, and that's fine.
Him and Bon Jovi, you know, tight for 30 years now, pretty much.
I understand why you bring up Bon Jovi here, but Bon Jovi's connection to the Patriots is the problem. Bon Jovi's a Jersey guy, and then now he's a front-running Patriot guy.
Oh, I've made it well-known he's a fraud when it comes to his sports.
That's not allowed. But there's fun in Bill Belichick, so I'm not... But I didn't know there was Taylor Swift fun in Bill Belichick. And even like as a grandpa, like is he really picking up enough while he's driving the kids to daycare or they're staying at his house for the weekend while mom and dad get a little time to themselves? Is he really rocking out to Taylor Swift songs?
You can't go an hour without hearing it, so I don't blame him.
And there are some that have been like in movies and stuff that you don't realize necessarily that they're Taylor Swift songs, and then you end up knowing them. So, like, you're right. She is pretty much everywhere. And the scenes from this weekend where she was at the Jersey Shore and, like, people are swarming a restaurant.
I mean, she was only there for 30 minutes. And then next thing you know, the whole street was jam-packed.
Yeah.
Just because there was a word, oh, Taylor Swift just walked into the restaurant.
Imagine being in that restaurant, minding your own business. Taylor Swift walks in, you go, holy crap. And you look out the window, and there's just people completely swarmed the building.
I would be livid.
I'd be scared.
No, I would be so annoyed. Because, number one, I hate traffic to begin with.
And it's hard enough getting out of those places.
Yeah. You know, we deal with the tourists enough here in New York City. Now you got to deal with that in LBI out of all places.
Yeah. All right. Last but not least, as promised... It's been too long since we've heard this voice. I opened up the old Instagram timeline yesterday. One of the first posts I saw was from MLS recapping a crazy game over the weekend involving St. Louis City, City St. Louis. It's a new MLS expansion team, the radio voice of which is the one and only Joey Zanaboni. 6 goals by his team. There's got to be some ridiculously amazing Zanaboni calls. I made a couple of calls, sent a few DMs because Sean was the original Zanaboni whisperer. We need a new one on the show. I've made connections, and here is a montage of Joey's best work from St. Louis FC's 6-3 win over Atlanta United over the weekend.
Oh, over wow. The top, flutters the ball to Rasmus Alm in space, closing in on the top of the 18. He leaves it in the back post. Joey Keeney, oh, it's swatted off the line by Stuber. Recovered by Joey Keeney. He flushes it home.
Unbelievable.
Bring a cattle prod to an electronica concert. Let's get shocked! It's a chance forward here. Austin gets across it. Jordan Rodriguez juggles it to himself. Oh, a quick shot that Roman Berkey gets a piece of. It sends over the frame.
That's impossible.
Roman Berkey sniffing things out like those airport dogs did with my Uncle Gary's potato launcher. Blown, but Austin keeps it. Drop back to Driussi. Hot shot, and Roman Berkey flying through the air and knocking it up over the bar. X-ing things out like he's participating in the Twitter rebrand.
65 seconds of Joey Zanaboni. Now, I will say this. I should follow up with Joey. There were 6 goals scored in this game. We only got one copyrighted Zanaboni call, which from a goal, which you just heard, cattle prod to an electronica concert. Let's get shocked. Now, I don't know if these were cut short, but Joey posted this. He posted the same audio, so he either left out those or he's not doing one for every single goal. And by the way, St. Louis SC versus Austin FC on Saturday. That was the matchup. 6 goals. Heard a couple of saves in there as well. Sniffing things out like the airport dog did with my uncle's potato launcher. I don't know where to begin. Schwartz is shaking his head. I don't know if it's in a good or bad way. I don't know where they come from. It's like the Sterling home run calls. I want to be in the lab. I want to see the process. I want to watch either one of these evil geniuses workshop these calls? Like, how does he land on cattle prod, electronica concert, let's get shocked?
I think he has a list. He makes a list, and he just has it like a spotter board, and it's in front of him.
And so he just kind of...
And he reads, he goes, okay, I've used that one, goes to the next one.
All right. But they're also topical, like the Twitter one to close out.
He can update the list.
Yeah, the player made an X symbol with his hands, with his arms, so he went to contributing to the Twitter rebrand. He's a mad scientist. And MLS radio will never be the same. MLS soccer has Messi. MLS radio, the home feed or the away feed through the Apple TV app, has changed forever because of Joey Zanaboni. Can't look at Schwartz right now. Hey, Peter, how are you?
I'm doing well, folks. How are you?
It's good to see you.
Good to be seen.
Did you hear what it said at the top of the show about Caserta and you this morning?
I did not hear that.
So Caserta tweeted at like 5.
Unless there's a way that I don't know of hearing the show in that other room, I can't. I
didn't. Yeah, there is a way. We're not going to tell you that. We like it better that you don't hear.
Okay.
But Caserta thought he was working today. He was in his car when something went off in his head, checked the schedule, realized he's in tomorrow, went back home. So we dealt with that. Then I had the thought, oh my God, if he was confused, what if you were confused and you were not even awake to come in now? He was going home. Could we have no anchor? And as I was literally finishing that thought, through the door you came triumphantly.
Yeah. So thanks to the Long Island Railroad.
Extra happy to see you this morning.
Very happy to be here.
While you're
wasn't so happy with those soccer calls, but okay.
Do you want to start Trash Tuesday now?
No, I probably have something else for later. I just didn't care for them.
Okay.
As you can see by my shaking of my head.
I've probably been the slowest to come aboard the Zanaboni wagon here. I mean, Sean and DA had him basically replacing Joe Buck sometime soon. Sean also presented these calls as the TV broadcasts, which they're not. So, like, Sean probably went too far forward.
Yeah.
And there are times where I don't get the references. I don't get the lines. Maybe it's a little too loud for my liking. But now I've seen the light.
I'm sure he's a nice fellow.
That we can't figure that out either. He was here one day and we couldn't get a read off him.
I just think that and so you lumped him together with John Sterling. And I know John Sterling is not everybody's cup of tea, but at least like when John does one of these home run calls, at least his line is relative to the person who hit the home run. So I'll go back to Bernie Williams, like when Burn Baby Burn.
Sure. That was the first one.
So like, so when he comes up with those things, at least it's like relative to the person, you know, a Stantonian blast, whatever, you know, All Rise, whatever. But like, I don't get what he did there. Like, listen, everybody gets a little exuberant with a play-by-play call. When I did the Dragons Arena football games, I would say fire-breathing touchdown.
Okay.
But at least it's relative to what you're talking about. Like, I don't get the throwing in of the pop culture things when it's not relative to the person who scored the goal.
It's possible, Schwartz, as the two oldest guys in this room, that we're just not the target audience.
Yeah. I just don't get it.
It's on the table that this is not for us. It's for a younger crew. It's for the Walls and Botchers of the world. Because Ryan's smiling ear to ear.
Oh, it's great. I loved it.
Yeah, see? But he's also wearing a Bruce Springsteen t-shirt today. So not check that off the list. So this guy, he knows everything. Current day, past. He might know some future things that are coming. He's going to, you know, garages to watch, listen to bands, their earliest stages.
He knows, man for all seasons.
He knows what's going on.
Yeah. Well, good for him.
Yeah. All right, you can do headlines now if you want.
This report sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Let's start in San Diego and a grand night for the Padres.
Now the pitch, and Kim swings, hits it in the air, deep to left. De La Cruz is back, looks up, gonna go! Grand slam, Ha-Seong Kim! and a 5-0 Padre lead in the second.
That was Jesse Agler with a normal play-by-play call on Padres radio, and the Padres go on to beat the Marlins 6-2. Now to Houston, where the Astros beat the Red Sox 9-4. Chaz McCormick homered twice and drove in four runs. The Astros bounce back from getting swept by the Mariners over the weekend.
Yeah, we needed that big time. We had a tough weekend, obviously, but to come out, put some runs on the board. Javier pitched well. Our bullpen always pitches well. It was a good W. You know, I hope we keep the momentum going for this homestand.
The Astros with a half-game lead over Seattle in the AL West, and the Mariners just keep on winning.
Here's the pitch to Cal, swinging a drive deep to right field again, and goodbye baseball. The Big Dumper does it again. Cal Raleigh with his second home run of the ball game, way out of here to right field, to the top row of the bleachers in right.
Rick Riz on Mariners radio. Cal Raleigh homered twice, drove in six runs. The Mariners win their seventh straight, beat the White Sox 14-2.
Did he call him the Big Dumper?
The Big
That's
Dumper.
His nickname.
That's his nickname.
It's a great nickname. Should I have known this by now?
I think so.
You've never played highlights of Cal Raleigh home runs before?
I definitely have, but I don't think they've ever included the Big Dumper, because on this show, you'd think we would have adopted Cal Raleigh by now. The Big Dumper?
Yes.
I mean, we have drops of, look at that. I mean, like, come on. We've got, how have we missed this so far? Shame on all of us.
Blotty never caught that either?
Blotty catches almost nothing. I'm just surprised that it's never come up in a highlight.
Really is Trash Tuesday.
Yeah. It's just, if it's Bilotti, it's a day. It's a trash day.
Man.
Exactly.
The Mariners are 32-13 since July 1st. Other games yesterday, you had the Diamondbacks over the Rangers 4-3-11. The Reds Angels postponed because of Tropical Storm Hillary. They'll play a doubleheader on Wednesday. The Mets beat the Braves 10-4. You had the Phillies over the Giants 10-4 in a game that featured an inside-the-park home run from Bryce Harper. Now to the NFL, and one of the most intriguing yet meaningless streaks has come to an end.
Snap is good. Kick is on the way. It is long enough, and it is good. And with 9 seconds remaining, the Ravens' preseason win streak is in danger.
And it is over. Bram Weinstein on Commanders Radio, and the Commanders beat the Ravens 29-28, ending Baltimore's 24-game preseason winning streak. You heard Joey Sly hit the game-winning 49-yard field goal with 9 seconds left. People have debated for a long time the meaning of NFL preseason games, and really, for the most part, anybody that follows the NFL knows, for the most part, the results of the games are meaningless. But there are parts of the game that have some meaning, and that's where Ravens head coach John Harbaugh puts the streak into perspective.
You're proud of it, of course. You know, you appreciate it. But the thing that you're proud of is all those games are mostly just like that. You know, preseason games that people want to write about, some of you in here, want to write about and say they don't mean anything because you never played the game. You never were out there in a preseason game. You never were fighting for a spot on a team. And yet you have the audacity to say that the effort that somebody puts into that to win and fight and win a game like that is meaningless.
Now, Harbaugh is right in a certain way. For a lot of those players, the game is everything to them because they're fighting for not necessarily a roster spot on that team, but if they get cut, they hope that film gets them a job somewhere else. I have a friend of mine who played football and was in training camp with the Jets one summer and got cut, but got the jersey, kept the jersey and the helmet. And that means the world to him that he played in an NFL preseason game.
And I think in the defense of people who say the games are meaningless, I think most of us understand all the things that Coach Harbaugh thinks we don't understand. Like, we know that there are people, that's the only NFL experience they're going to get, that there are jobs being decided. But I think where the meaningless thing comes out of it is, like, no one remembers preseason results. That you just don't. Like, that stuff doesn't matter. The streak, really, for the Ravens didn't matter. It doesn't accomplish anything. It doesn't get them anything. And the danger of these games, at least in my mind, it outweighs the positives where, that, you know, if you're not going to play your real guys in these games, then how meaningful actually are they? You know, like Lamar Jackson doesn't play, you can't then say that game is meaningful and be mad when we say when it's not.
The game result is meaningless. It's certain things within the game that carry
some
meaning. I could tell you in my whole life of watching the Jets, I could tell you the Jets preseason record only one year, and it was 1990, and they were 5-0 and went 4-12 in the regular season. That's all I can remember. Yeah. Oh, the Jets 5-0, we have a great season. That's where it means nothing,
right?
And I think John Harbaugh probably took it a little bit too much, because when someone says, "Well, it's a meaningless game," it's meaningless in terms of who won and who lost,
right? And you probably, to my point, you probably remembered. Didn't Chad Pennington get hurt in a preseason game?
He did against the
Brandon
Giants.
Short.
Right. Oh. Zach Wilson did. Like, those are the things you remember, right? Is the bad stuff that happens in preseason
in
games.
It seems like it's always a Jet-Giant game. But yeah. Jason Sehorn got hurt on a punt return.
That's
or
right.
Kickoff return in a Jet-Giant preseason game.
Yeah.
So, you know, I get what he's saying, but, you know, there are some things that you have to take out of these games. So let me just quickly, college football, Michigan self-imposes a 3-game suspension for head coach Jim Harbaugh to begin the 2023 season.
All right, Schwartz, thanks so much. Again, Trash Tuesday's next hour. Schwartz, he flirted with one already this hour. Get yours in at CBS Sports Radio.
Got to jump on that.
At Andrew Bogish. When we come back, a quick pseudo-update on an unhappy James Harden in Philadelphia. That's next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the DA show.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday. My favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, here we go. At CBS Sports Radio, at Andrew Bogish, send your trashes there. We will read them all morning, but most important are our trashes. Kevin Wall, you lead things off this week.
I'm trashing my sister Kelly because she decided to jump out of a plane yesterday and I had to keep it quiet. And God forbid the worst happened, I would have to live with that guilt forever. So thankfully, she successfully skydived. Everything was good, but she told me the wrong time. What time she was going to jump out of a plane. So I had, you know, I have to play the waiting game just to make sure, like, everything's good. She told me she was jumping out of the plane at 12. She didn't jump out till like 2:33. and you know, when we wake up at 3:30 in the morning for this shift, you know, it's like 10 o'clock at night now.
That's prime nap time.
That prime nap time. And then finally she says, okay, I'm good. I'm on my way home. I still haven't told mom and dad. I finally pass out. I'm like, okay, good. I'll get a couple hours in. All of a sudden I hear my mom, you did bleeping what? Of course, that woke me up. I had to stay. I woke up like around 9 o'clock and I just did not get any sleep last night. So I'm trashing my sister for potentially giving me bad guilt and ruining my sleep schedule. So congrats. I'm glad you're safe, but nah.
Yeah.
You're so out. Frustrating.
Happy Being Alive Day in particular to your sister. For those of you who are not here, this has been bothering Wall for 24 hours. He was looking for support during the breaks yesterday about how to handle this. I don't like this. Asking me to keep this a secret. What if she doesn't make it? What if she doesn't come home? How much trouble will I be in for that? It was a lot. This has been weighing on Wall for a long time. I'm glad she's okay.
She came up to me Sunday night, like around 8:30, comes to my room. You can't tell anybody, but I'm telling you this, blah, blah, blah. I thought maybe there was a surprise dinner for my other sister who leaves for college on Thursday. We would surprise her with a night out. We'll pay the bill for my parents.
Right.
Nah, I'm jumping out of a plane. Don't tell anyone. And you're the responsible one.
Mm.
If the worst happens, you have to go identify the body. Imagine that.
I am impressed, though, with her planning skills here, because I would not have thought of all the ways she did to take herself off the grid so your parents couldn't track her to the airfield.
So she gave me her location. So she took the Life 360 off.
Okay.
And so she gave me her location on Snapchat. Like it's 2015 right. All over
again. Is this
again.
Thing on?
And, yeah, so I didn't sleep well
now,
because of that.
My follow-up would be this Life 360 thing. Wouldn't your parents get an alert when she turns it off? Because they should if
my
it's
mom
working
is
correctly
not really,
in my mind.
So I took myself off it because my mom was getting very annoying.
You're an adult.
It. Yeah, I'm an adult.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not 18, I'm 27.
Correct.
So I took myself off. And once that happened, you know, I'll text her if I get in early at work, I'm here, blah, blah, blah. But she doesn't really check it anymore. But my sister was being very cautious, though,
all right.
About it.
And it worked. She
yep.
jumped, she survived, and she got in trouble afterwards.
And
no
then
big deal.
And my mom came home from lunch yesterday, and she goes, "Where's Kelly?" And thankfully, my sister, Christine, heard it. Oh, she's out with Marie.
Okay,
fair enough.
Moving on. Plan worked. And she's alive. Happy Being Alive Day. Ryan Botcher, what do you got?
I'm trashing the MTA. Not for raising the price of the fares to up where it was. It's like 5%. I'm mad that they made it a non-even number, and it just looks terrible. $2.90 as a price for the ride on the subway compared to $3 to me is terrible. Make it a solid number. $2.75 to $3. That's fine. But you went $2.75 to $2.90, and it's thrown off my entire day. It sucks.
I could not agree with you more that everything should be a whole dollar. We don't need, now I know there are places that have more coins than paper bills, whatever. Making change is for dummies. Everything should be an even number. I give you a $10 bill, it was $8, you give me two, whatever, we're fine. Do give me $2.17 back, pay $2.90 for this. I don't care. If I'm paying 35 cents extra to get to round up, I'm fine with it. Everything should be a whole number. But in particular, stuff like this, although I guess because nobody pays the actual money anymore, the actual amount doesn't matter. But you're right. Just make it three even dollars and let's move on.
The two people, the two grandmas that get on the bus.
Because there are some people.
They have to use dimes, pennies now. That it's going to throw off their entire week.
Yeah.
And the Metro cards are all messed up now because now, like, if you, like, you get down towards the bottom of your Metro card, you could wind up with, you know, 80 cents.
Right.
Now, what are you going to do with the 80 cents on your Metro card?
It's always going to be there.
Like, can you add a funky number to round it up to what you need?
I think you can, actually.
You can't
because
do
I
that
feel
with the
like I'm
app.
Never going to get that 80 cents back.
Right. It's just sitting there.
Yeah.
But you probably could do the math to get yourself back to where you need to be. But I hear you. It's just, why are we making math complicated? I'd rather just have nice, big, fat, round numbers. Even just in 50 cent increments, at least. But if something costs $3.72, we're doing something wrong.
Overflowing landfill.
Schwartz, what's your second trash in the morning?
This is the first official one, though. That one was just happened to be
spur of the moment.
Matter of circumstance. Sure. I took advantage of the opportunity. I am trashing two employees at the deli near my house. went in there on a Saturday to get a salad to take to work Saturday night. And they have a large Asian chicken salad, and I wanted the smaller one. And they didn't have any of the smaller ones out. So I asked the first person at the desk, can I please get a smaller Asian? No, you can't do that. And I said, I know I can do it. My wife and I were in here for lunch a few days ago, and she ordered it. That's impossible. It didn't happen. I said, can I get somebody else? Somebody else comes over and says, what can I do for you? And I'm like, I would like the smaller Asian chicken salad. We can't do that. We only make it large. I'm like, it's not true. I was in here for lunch with my wife a few days ago, and she ordered it and got it. You're lying to us. This is impossible. So the manager hears this argument going on and comes out and said, what's the problem? I'm like, I want an Asian chicken salad, but I don't want the big one. I want the smaller one. Just make it for him. But we don't do that. Oh, yeah, we do. Like, so it was not that the two of them couldn't do it. They didn't want to do it. And if this deli wasn't really, really good, like the food is fantastic there,
yeah,
I would never go there again. I'm not going to spite myself and my wife. So we'd still go there. But it's like, how lazy could you be? Like, you didn't want to just like go put a salad together for me?
You keep finding these problems.
Got what I needed at the end of the day anyway.
What did you share yesterday about somebody yelling at you on Reddit that you just stumbled upon?
Oh, yeah. That was a long... the whole ranch dressing thing?
Yeah.
You know, Leslie and Fort Lee?
Okay.
Used to call the fan all the time. So I guess I blocked him on Twitter.
Smart. Okay.
Some time ago because he's barred from certain shows on FAN.
Okay.
He is a psychopath.
So I don't remember exactly what happened, but he said something to me on Twitter, and I just said, I don't need to deal with this, so I blocked him. So he responded to that whole ranch dressing thing and totally lied about things. He said my family and I were thrown out of the restaurant. He said that I whined about the ranch dressing getting dumped on me. Are you supposed to get something dumped on you when you go into a restaurant?
Right.
And then he said, you should stop complaining about your son's food coming out cold. I'm like...
Yeah, like, you had two different screen grabs of his Reddit screen.
His blurb that somebody actually, a friend of my son's, pointed out to him, has your father seen this? And like, no, because I was not on Reddit. And then Bradley showed it to me, and I was fuming. Not so much when someone says something about me, but when you include my family in it, that's what like put me over the top. So I completely roasted him. Now, this was a guy that when I worked at the other radio station in town years ago, used to do a hockey show on Wednesday nights at the four-letter word zone restaurant.
Okay.
At you know what I'm referring to, right?
Yeah.
So we did this show, and the radio studio there was in like this glass fishbowl.
I remember it,
And this was a guy who would come to the show.
Come into Manhattan,
come to the show. Stick his face up against the window, his lips pressed against the window, causing a fog, waving to my co-host and I, and then would follow me into the restaurant, into the restroom during a commercial break to talk sports with me.
Totally gross, dude.
I mean, we love you guys for listening, but some of you are lunatics.
Followed me into the bathroom.
And now he's taking apart your family on social media.
He's taking apart me and my family. That he was being cute about it because he went to a platform he knew I was not on.
Right.
Well, now I am.
Yeah. Although I would argue that you shouldn't be on.
Well, I went on it. Well, I'm going to probably delete the account, but I went on it to respond so that I had... Because he thought he was being cute that I wouldn't see it.
You made an account just to respond to
this? Just to respond to it.
He's hooked for life now. He's not deleting the app.
No,
do you really think Peter Schwartz is a Reddit
guy? I'm giving it a few days to get more comments on it, and then I'll delete it.
But back to my original point, I think I've had like two of these incidents. You've had three this year, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
You guys just find trouble.
Not looking for
troublemakers, the Schwartz clan.
Not looking for
walking around Long Island picking fights with poor deli counter workers, asking for different sized salads.
They shouldn't be lazy.
So I have a lot to trash after my family vacation. I'm going to choose to take the high road here and leave some of the more annoying things off the air because I do love my family and it was a good week, but it's a lot. I mean, any combination of people together in a smallish space is a lot. So I think the safe play here is to tell my mom and dad and my mother-in-law, my wife, my kids that I love them and I can't wait to do this again next year. I'm going to trash, and this feels like a Bilotti trash, coming off a week at the beach. And I know I've done this before, but I got to do it again because it hasn't fixed itself. I got to trash sand. I get the draw. You're soft. We can run through you. Love taking a nap on the beach. It's the second best bed there is after an actual bed. I just can't accept, A, the stickiness. It goes everywhere. It's up. My feet are caked in it, up to my legs, in your bathing suit, in every bag you bring. It's on your seat. It's on your hand. You're trying to eat something. It ends up on the can of soda, can of beer, your water cup, whatever. It just goes everywhere. And God forbid there's any wind. Now it's blowing. You're almost getting like sandblasted. Things are getting the initial layer of them worn off. But on top of that, this week, this beach, southern New Jersey, for some reason, felt like it had absorbed all of the sun and all of the heat. It was like walking on hot coals. To get to put down my crap, to get covered in the sand, it's just not for me. I said this the other day. I need some kind of walkway from the boardwalk, from entry point, wherever it is, over the sand to the water. Find me sand that doesn't stick, that doesn't get hot, doesn't burn my feet. I'm not strong enough, tough enough for this. Everything about the beach is great, minus the sharks, minus the sand. Get the sand out.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
It's just not worth it in the end.
I hate the beach, too.
I love the beach.
No, I hate the beach.
There's just one too many negatives. I'm like scurrying from your seat to the water because my feet are on fire. You get back to the house. You've got to wash everything off. I got sand all over the place. It's all in the house because nobody cleans their feet correctly. Or
but this is what you sign up for, though, when you go to the beach.
I know. And I've grown to love it. Like, I used to just not go to the beach growing up. Now I'll go. But I notice the things that are not great about the beach. The beach is not perfect. Some people think it's the greatest place on earth and love it, roll around, throw it, whatever. It's got its limitations.
That's why I'm a pool guy. I don't even think I've been to the beach once this summer.
So I've recently added lakes to the mix. And you get the right kind of lake. Now, some lakes are gross and muddy and rocky and mucky on the way in. But you get a nice, clean lake, and you've got a little dock off the back area or whatever. You can dive right in. It's not dirty, whatever, not swampy. That's not bad, because now you're taking out the sand. You're taking out the waves that could be too harsh and ruin the day. You're taking out the dangerous wildlife swimming around there waiting to eat you. It's not a bad compromise.
But now you got to deal with all the toxins, you know, in lake water.
Every lake is different, I guess, right? Some are cleaner than others. Some are better for swimming than others. There's the danger of dopes going by on jet skis and boats and whatever. But I could be convinced to be a lake guy. Like, you see Jim Rome's pictures?
Oh, the Wisconsin, yeah. It's
that's
beautiful.
A lake. Now, you got a long way to go.
I got a wedding in Lake George next month.
Okay.
It's my first time there, so.
You're going
to
love it.
Really looking forward
to it. Get back
to
me on the lake. Lake life's not bad.
I will definitely get back to you on that one.
All right. You keep your trashes coming at Andrew Bogish at CBS Sports Radio. We'll read a couple here in just a second. But first things first, while he's here, let's get some headlines from Schwartz.
Let's start in Arizona, Bogues, where the Rangers scored two runs in the top of the 11th to take a 3-1 lead over the Diamondbacks. In the bottom of the 11th, Arizona cut the lead to one. Then Tommy Pham came to the plate.
And the 2-1 pitch on the way. And a line drive right center. It's going to win it. Tommy Pham, an RBI double, and the Diamondbacks walk off the Rangers. They beat them by a score of 4-3. How about these D-backs?
Greg Schulte on Diamondbacks Radio, and the Diamondbacks over the Rangers 4-3-11, and Arizona's won 8 of their last 10. In Atlanta, Mets beat the Braves 10-4. Francisco Lindor homering as the Mets won for the 7th time in 9 games.
I just want to win games, you know. It's fun whenever I contribute to the team, and we ended up winning games. So that's ultimately all that matters at the end of the day. My hard work from the hitting coaches and just watching the guys hit. You know, just if you pay attention, they are going to tell you without even saying a word what to do.
Lindor, courtesy of SNY. Now to Philadelphia, Bryce Harper taking himself back to his Little League days.
1-2, swinging a fly ball deep center. Going back on it, Meckler, towards the angled wall. It's over his head. It comes off the wall. It bounds away. Harper's around second. He's heading for third. Meckler bobbles on the track. Harper coming around third. He's coming to the plate. He doesn't need to slide, but he does. He's in safely, and it's 5-2 Phillies.
Inside the park, home run for Bryce Harper. The call on Phillies radio, and the Phillies beat the Giants 10-4. Now NFL preseason football, and a good night for the Commanders' new starting quarterback.
Third down and 8. Ball is at the 9. Sam Howell looking to throw from the gun. Fires to the 5, complete to the 1. Antonio Gibson trying to force his way in, and he gets across the goal line for a touchdown.
Bram Weinstein on Commanders Radio, and the Commanders beat the Ravens 29-28, ending Baltimore's 24-game preseason winning streak. Sam Howell, 19 of 25, 188 yards and 2 touchdowns as he utilized the talent around him.
Yeah, I mean, we have so many weapons. And, you know, we have, and you said 7 guys, but we have 20 guys. You know, obviously hope we can't, probably can't keep them all, but we have so many guys that can make plays with the ball when they get their chance. All I try to do is just try to get the ball out of my hands as quickly as possible, and give those guys a chance to do what they do best. And I'm just so blessed with the talent I have around me, for sure.
Joey Sly, the game-winning 49-yard field goal with 14 seconds to go. Also from the NFL, the Colts reportedly grant running back Jonathan Taylor permission to seek a trade. The Colts said to be looking for a first-round pick or multiple picks that would equate to a first-rounder. College football, Michigan self-imposes a 3-game suspension for head coach Jim Harbaugh to begin the 2023 season as a result of alleged violations during the COVID-19 dead period. And I'll close with this. From the NBA, the Knicks are suing the Raptors. Members of the Raptors organization and a former Knicks employee that the Knicks say illegally procured and then disclosed proprietary information to the Raptors. And the Raptors say they are doing their own investigation and will fully cooperate, which means the Raptors know something wrong happened.
Yeah.
But now you wonder if this is, again, Knicks owner, you know, Jim Dolan, you know, being a little, I don't know, what do you want to say?
Sleazeball?
Sleazeball-ish,
yeah,
about
petty.
This whole thing.
So I think it even involves the Raptors' new head coach is one of the people involved here. And I guess the story is somebody worked for the Knicks and went to the Raptors and took things with him or her. But I saw a lot of great responses from Knicks fans. Like, what was the game plan? Isolate Julius Randle. That's all they did for, you know, 3 years before this past season. So, but yeah, I mean, the Raptors, like, we should look into this means something happened.
Yeah. So
somebody didn't turn in their playbook on their way out.
Another day in Knicks life.
Moist Pork joining us on Trash Tuesday. Good morning. My 9-year-old had a sleepover, and her friend wanted hot cocoa for breakfast. We didn't have any instant, so she tells me a recipe her mother uses. Heating up milk, baking cocoa, confectioner's sugar. I looked at her and said, nope. What cereal do you want? Trash her.
Is Oscar the Grouch living in there?
Now, Moist Pork co-signed my sand trash, so I want to be on his side here, but I've got to point out that most responses to this tweet have not been kind to Moise for trashing a 9-year-old for wanting hot cocoa.
He's fine. You can't go to someone's house expecting them to cook something for you, even though it's not your abode.
But you're 9. I don't know that you know what you're asking for.
But to have the whole recipe memorized.
I'm actually impressed by that. My kid would not know what we make him for breakfast if he had to tell somebody else the recipe.
Yeah, it's too much for breakfast. Dinner, then you get a 20% chance it's happened. But this is okay.
Yeah, I think the better play is to just say, oh, I don't have that stuff either. Like, I don't have...
I'm Team Moist Pork. It's Lucky Charms or nothing, sweetie.
Sorry. Again, it's the message. It's the way you respond to her. You can just go, oh, I don't have cocoa powder either. Sorry.
Kids got to learn.
Yeah. I think you can let her down gently.
It's not a diner. When you go to somebody else's house, it's not a diner. We tell our kids that all the time. We get invited over somewhere. You deal with it until we leave. And
all right.
My wife and I will always have the same conversation with the kids. We're going over for dinner at so-and-so's house. If you don't like what they have, just, you know, nibble on it and don't complain about it. And when we leave, if you're still hungry, we will stop somewhere, drive through, and get you something to eat. So stop complaining when somebody is nice enough to invite you over to their house.
All right.
Food is family.
Moist, this room, you've got our support.
I didn't need to hear that.
You've got the support of three of us, the three most important ones in the room right now. More trashes and some thoughts on Ravens Commanders after this on the Da. In the meantime, headlines and maybe stunned to a news?
Yeah, I think we have that coming up here. We'll begin, first of all, in San Diego.
Rewind hit hard on a line out to deep left center field. Nobody going to catch that.
Wow.
And it's gone, a home run. Oh, boy, hit the top of the wall and went out. Jazz Chisholm Jr., the center fielder, is standing in front of the warning track with his hands on his hips. He can't believe that ball got out of here, but it sure did. Number 24 for Manny Machado.
That was Jesse Agler on Padres Radio. Padres over the Marlins 6-2. Also in that game, Ha Sung Kim hit a grand slam. Now to Oakland, where the Royals and A's were tied at 4 in the ninth inning, and then the Royals got rooked.
Here's the pitch to Rooker, and on the way, and Rooker, it's a high fly ball, left center field, going back, Melendez at the track, he'll turn, and it is gone! A game-winning home run to left center field by Rooker in the bottom of the ninth, and the A's win it by the final of 6-4.
I see what you did there.
You like that, huh?
I did.
Now rooked. A little Cool in the Gang in the background there at the end.
Like was that from you or from them?
No, that was in the stadium.
Oh, okay.
That was in the stadium. Celebration. Ken Korak on A's Radio. Now to Seattle, where the Mariners really dumped all over the White Sox.
Here's the pitch to Rooker. And on.
Now the stretch by Toussaint of the 2-0 pitch. Swinging a well-hit ball down the right field line. Stay fair. It is fair. It is gone. Goodbye, baseball. For Cal Raleigh, his last three home runs have been tucked right inside the right field corner. Holy smoke for Cal, number 23 on the year. And he gives the Mariners a 6-1 lead here in the top of the fifth inning.
Oh, we didn't get a big dumper there from Rick Riz on Mariners Radio, but Cal Raleigh homered twice in the game, drove in six. And the Mariners, when they're seventh in a row, beat the White Sox 14-2. The Reds and Angels washed out because of Tropical Storm Hillary. They'll play a doubleheader on Wednesday. In 11, the Diamondbacks over the Rangers 4-3. Yeah, the Mets pound the Braves 10-4. Astros 9, Red Sox 4. The Pirates over the Cardinals 11-1. Phillies 10, Giants 4. And the Cubs over the Tigers 7-6. NFL preseason, the streak is over. Commanders beat the Ravens 29-28. The Ravens preseason winning streak ends at 24. Here's more from Ravens head coach John Harbaugh on the meaning of preseason games.
Tell me that was meaningless out there, what you just saw. If you like football, is that a meaningless football game? You know, I can't respect anybody that says that because of the effort these guys put into it. That's what you're proud of. That's why I'm so proud of these guys for the way they fought. It doesn't matter win or loss. It matters the way they went about their business tonight. And I'm proud of them for that, always will be.
You know, to follow up on our conversation earlier about, you know, the meaning of preseason games, I think I would feel better about preseason games if they didn't charge regular season prices for them.
Of course.
I mean, I know that's why they do it, because they have to open up the stadium anyway, and they're still got to get concession people. Like, it's still a game. They're opening up the stadium. But you can't tell me that a preseason game should have the same ticket value that a regular season game should.
And you're required to buy them as a season ticket holder,
I know,
correct?
The Jet and Giant season ticket holders are. I don't know if every team in the league does that. When I first had Jet season tickets, you didn't, and then they slowly made it an option, and then they made it mandatory.
Yeah, I understand both sides here, and I'm, I guess, on the other side of John Harbaugh. But it's like, the game has meaning, but it obviously has far less meaning than regular season games, or Lamar Jackson would not have been watching it in a bucket hat with an earpiece in the entire game.
Right. My solution to these preseason games, that I don't think, especially teams that have the new stadiums and they're trying to fill dates and sell tickets, my solution to the preseason would be cut it to two games and every game should be at a neutral site. They should give these preseason games to markets who don't have NFL teams. So, like, for example, the Jets and Giants play, put the game at Rutgers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah, make
play
it
at Albany.
Yeah, you know, or somewhere. Like, you know, you have the Eagles and the Steelers play it, you know, I don't know, play it in, you know, Bethlehem, or, you know, like, you know, find another place close by to play.
Right.
And give NFL football to fans who can't see it in person.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You'd still have, you know, wouldn't have the same level of talent on the field, but that's a good idea.
But I think that would help spruce it up a little bit.
For sure.
The Colts have reportedly granted running back Jonathan Taylor permission to seek a trade. Michigan imposes a 3-game suspension for head coach Jim Harbaugh to begin the 2023 season. And now, it's time to get stunned.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
You know, a power outage is always an unfortunate thing, Bogues, as we know, as homeowners. It really doesn't matter whether you're a homeowner, you rent an apartment, or even, you know, in the place of work when the power goes out, it can be a big, big inconvenience, and it could be caused by any number of reasons. It could be an overload of power. There could have been a car accident where the car knocks over a pole. Any weather-related power outages, anything can happen. But a power outage in New Jersey recently was due to an unlikely culprit, and that was a fish that was likely put there by a bird. This happened in Sayreville, New Jersey. A power outage that cut electricity to a New Jersey community a week ago was due to an unlikely culprit, a fish that was apparently dropped by a bird and landed on a transformer. Sayreville police said that Jersey Central Power and Light Company workers working on the August 12th outage that cut power to a large area of Lower Sayreville found a fish on the transformer in the New Jersey community southwest of New York's Staten Island. Kevin, you're a Jersey guy. You familiar with that area?
Sayreville, New Jersey, maybe 20 minutes, 25 minutes away.
And
I go through Sayreville every day to get to the city.
And you were not aware of this?
I was not aware of this.
Well, here you go. They're guessing a bird dropped it as it flew over, according to police on their Facebook page. In a later post, they had a bit of fun asking readers to remember the fish as the victim in this senseless death, dubbing him Gilligan and calling him a hardworking family man and a father to thousands. The suspect, they say, was last seen flying south, and readers were urged not to try and apprehend him because although he isn't believed to be armed, he may still be very dangerous.
Now,
thoughts and comments.
You weren't here yesterday, so you won't know this, but this is the second consecutive stunt to a news based on a bird dropping prey from the sky. So we've got a serious conversation to have.
This is like
here.
A run of quarterbacks at the NFL draft.
Well, or do we have butterfingers among birds? Do they need to work on their hand strength and their grips here? Or are they actually not dropping things by accident? Are these things on purpose? Did yesterday's hawk drop that snake on a lady as an attack? And did this bird drop this fish on the transistor to knock out the power?
And was it an act for hire? Like, was this bird?
Right. He could be a hit bird.
A hit bird, right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm listening. All things are on the table.
I'm looking at the same article that Peter was just saying. They actually made a sketch of the bird as a suspect sketch. You have a black and white bird.
But don't distract from the... We might have an actual problem here. If either birds are accidentally or on purpose dropping things from the sky... This is happening too often. Too often. A bird drops a snake and attacks the lady who the snake falls on. And now this bird, with the bad grip, drops a fish into a transistor and the whole town loses power.
But how does a bird get a fish up in the water?
Oh, dude, you got to Google this, man. Birds swooping down and fishing is commonplace.
I know grizzly bears, obviously.
Mm,
but
have tails, yeah.
But I never heard of a bird just grabbing a... And this is a big fish.
You
gotta a guppy.
You haven't been to the beach? The birds dive in? I mean, this is a
hate fish to begin with. Like, I'll be honest with you. I kind of have a fear of fish.
Okay.
So I would be terrified.
So you hate fish. Botcher hates snakes.
Like if
all right.
I don't like cats.
I'm allergic, so it's okay.
But PETA's going to really be on our case this week.
It's okay. It's okay.
No, but I just had a fear. I remember when I was 9 years old, my neighbor caught this giant bluefish, and he was showing it off, and I opened the cooler. Now I'm thinking the fish is obviously dead.
Right.
The eyes would be shut.
Oh, of course. I don't think they have eyelids.
I was 9 years old. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And I opened the cooler, and then bam, it's staring at me to this day. Petrified. Won't even touch one. I finally got over the shrimp salmon fear by eating it. Other than that, I want nothing to do with any fish.
I finally got over the shrimp salmon fear. Well, baby steps, Kevin. Baby steps. Just keep working hard on yourself.
I wonder if this is going to make power companies take further notice to how they leave wires out in the open. Like, do they have to now put a fish cover or a bird cover on these wires to avoid this happening again?
Maybe.
Or is this just like one of those things that happen?
That's the question. Mm-hmm. Was this a bad accident, or is this, again, the beginning of a bird takeover?
That transformer got fish fried.
We'll see you guys in a second on the DA Show, CBS Sports Radio. Peter Schwartz never disappoints, that's for sure. Final few moments of hour number three on this Tuesday, Bogus in for DA. Hour number four begins Sounds of Saturday. We'll take a look at the Penn State Nittany Lions. Their radio voice, Steve Jones, will join us. Also, Oregon radio voice, Jerry Allen, next hour. But when you think of Penn State football last year, you'll remember that they won 11 games. And win 11 came at the Rose Bowl over Utah. A game, again, cementing and finishing off one of the better seasons in recent memory for Penn State, but also providing us with one of our favorite moments from January of this year.
We are live right at the Rose Bowl where, no big deal, Penn State demolished, dominated, controlled number 8 Utah in an absolute dominant victory. So let me just tell you this, folks, for the future, 2023, look out for the Nits. They dominate with Sean Clifford, 6-year quarterback, no big deal. They got Drew Locke coming in, 2 freshman running backs, dominant. We'll see you next year. We'll see you in the playoffs.
You know, we might actually see them in the playoffs. That's on the table. That's how good Penn State is. So how actually smart was a drunk Ryan Hickey on New Year's Day walking out of the Rose Bowl last year? That clip, no big deal. And whatever variation of domination he tried to get out, that almost sounds like Donovan McNabb to me. He also says Gerard's coming in. It's Drew Aller became Gerard in his stumbling, mumbling ways. That's an all-timer from Ryan Hickey. Hick at Night, the guy who most recently interviewed for Sean's job in a tuxedo. He's also cursed by accident on the air. He gives you his hot takes from a cold shower these days as well. But this might have been really the initial, this might have been the door opening to the real rough, cutting edge, risque Hickey. Is him thinking the world needed a live reaction video while he was drunk walking out of this game, and we got that magic.
I got to have a beer with Hickey, no doubt.
I don't think you can have a beer with Hickey. I think that's the problem.
That's a lot of beers based on how he was talking.
Yeah. No big deal.
Demolished.
Demolished. No big deal. Freshman running backs. Seen the playoffs. And they might. And God forbid. I mean, how would Hickey handle a college football playoff semifinal?
He went to a lacrosse semifinal for Penn State. That's pretty far.
No, you know what? But I'm in on that. I'm in on alma mater, school spirit. I'm jealous that he went to the Rose Bowl to watch his team play. Then that's a pretty cool thing. And then he came out of it hammered and gave us that video. Shared it with the entire world. And it will never, ever go away. No big deal. But Steve Jones, voice of the Nittany Lions, will join us next hour. And again, Oregon's radio voice, Jerry Allen, too. We still have to sneak in the wrong apology from our friends down the hall. And maybe a thought or two on the Commanders and the Ravens. A busy final hour. And it's next on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, we are feeling good.
I'm doing great.
One question only. How you feeling?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Always good to hear. Always good to have you on this Tuesday edition of the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. Andrew Bogish in for DA. Final hour, a lot to get to. A double dose of college football preview. It begins right now with the Penn State Nittany Lions.
The DA Show counts down the days until the electricity of college football season returns with the game's greatest voices.
It is tipped off. And Lewis got it on the deflection. Lewis is going to score. Lewis is going to score. Lewis is going to score. Touchdown, Auburn. Touchdown, Auburn. Got a block for Brooks. 50, 10, 5. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Dogs win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Touchdown, Boston College. He did it. He did it. Flutie did it.
All the band is out. The Bears have won! Oh, my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
It's the sounds of Saturday, every morning on CBS Sports Radio.
Now they shift to the Wildcat, to Barkley, who takes the snap. Barkley to his left through the hole, 35, 40. There goes Barkley, 50, 35, 25, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Mr. Electricity lights it up at Beaver Stadium tonight.
A little vintage Saquon Barkley on this Tuesday morning. There's a couple of good sophomore running backs who will help lead the way this fall for Penn State. There are our crosshairs this morning with our good friend, the voice of the Nittany Lions, Steve Jones, who's with us here on this Tuesday. Steve, it is Andrew. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Andrew, it's great to be with you. Looking forward to it.
So, Steve, 11 wins last year, Rose Bowl champs, a lot of talent coming in, a lot of talent returning. The last time the expectations were this high for this program was when?
Probably 17, and which would include the clip that you played that season. There were a lot of expectations. I think maybe this is the deepest team, though, that's been here at Penn State probably since 2008. They've done a good job of being two deep and in some areas three deep across the board, and that's part of the reason why there's the optimism here that exists.
That being said, is there an argument for having more optimism for next year, for 2024, when all these young guys are a year older, plus the conference, while it's bigger, there's no more divisions, the playoff is bigger. Could next year be even better for Penn State?
Could be, but they've got to get through, obviously, this year. And you and I both know the way this plays out. How does the transfer portal work? How does the NFL draft play out? So that's why you try to do as much as living in the moment, because I know when I'm doing off-season preparation for opponents, it takes much longer now because, okay, so this guy transferred over.
Yeah.
Okay, so what did he do at this school? You know, and that's the way the nature of the game is. It really has changed in the last 5 years. It's a totally different kind of collegiate animal.
Now, let me ask you a nerdy broadcasting question. Are you handwriting your chart still, or do you have some kind of computer program? Because at least with the computer program, the editing process is a little bit easier.
Yeah, well, I use a Microsoft Excel.
Okay. I'm a Google Sheets guy, but either way, that's at least easier to cut and paste or delete or move guys from one school to another.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly how I attempt to do it. Most days it works.
Steve, walk me through Drew Allo. We've heard his name. We knew he was coming. Yeah. Now he's here. What is he actually going to be like on the football field for this program at quarterback?
Well, he's a calm, cool, collected player, and I think that's part of this. But he also has a terrific release. The ball's a little bit different coming out of his hand. And what I like is that over time, he has become more accurate, leading guys into yards after the catch. It took him a little bit to get a grasp of that about a year and a half ago. Then you could see the improvement last training camp. This spring, he was really, really solid. I feel he's had an excellent training camp this time around.
And, I mean, I'm assuming he's benefited from unquestioned, this is his job. Like, there's been no speculation or whatever. Like, it's just been, he's been able to live in this role as QB1 basically since last season ended, correct?
Well, no, not really, because okay. What James still has not named a starting quarterback yet. So it's been Drew and Bo Prabula, two guys that came in at the same time. Prabula in his own right is an excellent prospect. You know, moves, can make plays.
Different player, right? A different type of quarterback?
Yeah, different, a little bit different player than Aller happens to be. And at some point, James will name one, whether it's this week or whether it's next week. It'll if he doesn't want to name it, you know, leading up to the game, that'll make my job a lot more difficult. It's 15, I'll go, oh, that's Aller. Oh, it's Prabula. I think, you know, at some point he'll name one. But Aller's been really, really good during the course of the preseason. But now you have to do it in the game. I mean, it's not like they can't stop the game and say, hey, we have to go over this.
And we'll probably see both of them at times in games, no matter what. Will there be a change of pace package with Prabula if he's not the starter?
That's an excellent question, because I don't know that. That's something I'm not going to really know until they get to it. I'll say this, whomever's the quarterback is going to have a lot of round to work with. You mentioned the running backs, Singleton and Allen, two really talented guys, and it seems like the 1-2 punch is the deal in the Big Ten. Mayan Williams and Travion Henderson at Ohio State, Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards at Michigan. Well, here at Penn State, it's been Nicholas Singleton and Catron Allen. And that running game is going to take a lot of pressure off these quarterbacks. I mean, and that's been, to me, that was the big leap for Penn State last year, recapturing the running game, which they really hadn't had since Journey Brown developed his heart issue after the Cotton Bowl.
Combined, it was almost 2,000 yards and 22 touchdowns as freshmen for those guys. What's a fair expectation for year two from them?
Yeah, you feel like, especially with a veteran offensive line, they can improve upon those numbers. What was interesting is that they rotated them in and out last year, and when the season was over with, you want to talk about something playing out organically, they were separated by 11 carries when the season was over last year. And those guys don't seem to care who's in the game and who's not. They're always next to each other in practice all the time. And with a veteran offensive line, I mean, you feel like they have the capability, especially with their respective running styles, maybe even better than the numbers that you were talking about from last year.
For people that didn't watch a lot of Penn State last year, are they similar running backs, or they do different things each one's on the field?
Yeah, they're a little bit different, and that's a great question, because Singleton does have the ability, boom, with that straight line speed like the 87-yard touchdown run he had in the Rose Bowl. Allen can be a little more shifty, that jump cut. And I think Allen's done a good job of being solid out of the backfield as a pass receiver. They're both good blockers, which helps, but they're just a little bit different as to how they play, and I think that really helps.
Steve Jones, the voice of Penn State football, with us here this morning. Sounds of Saturday on the DA show on CBS Sports Radio. Back to the quarterbacks for 1 second, Steve. Whoever's out there, who are they throwing to?
Keandre Lambert-Smith, who had a really terrific stretch to close the season, has been a guy that's taken a lead at wide receiver, and also Trey Wallace, who came on last year and played well. Both of them had great springs and have continued it during the course of the preseason. Now the question has been, who's going to be the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth guy? And I think they've been able to find those guys during the course of the time. Consistency is the key. So Omari Evans, Liam Clifford, that's Sean Clifford's younger brother. He has been rock solid. Caden Saunders, Malik McLean, who's a transfer from Florida State, Malik Mega. Those are some of the guys that, to their credit, some of them were very up and down and inconsistent in the spring, have developed consistency during the preseason, and that's been a big plus. Then there's the tight ends. I mean, everybody talks about who's going to take over wide receiver. The wide receivers are competing with tight ends because Penn State has Theo Johnson. They have Tyler Warren. They have Khalil Dinkins. And there'll be times where Penn State will play two tight ends, which will eliminate a wide receiver being on the field.
I think that's seven consecutive offensive questions, Steve. So let me throw a defensive one in here for you. Is the one of the big problems last year were handling the big boys from Michigan and Ohio State. Are the Penn State big boys on defense ready for that challenge this year?
Yeah, that's something that's going to be really important. And, you know, James talked about bigger defensive tackles in particular. Well, two guys, Akeem Beamon and Zane Durant, happen to be two guys that are cat quick, but, quote, in terms of weight, undersized. So they put weight on that bulk during the course of the off season. But you get to a training camp and you lose weight. Well, I talked to the strength and conditioning staff last week, and I said, hey, how are they doing on weight? And he said neither one has dropped a pound during the course, which is great because now they're both bulked up into the 280s, which has helped. So that's where you're going to get that bulk. Plus, Abdul Carter now, especially a linebacker, and Kobe King, they're two linebackers that are really good size. I'm talking right around that 245, 250 range inside. Carter hardly played in the game against Michigan last year. King played a little bit. And those are two guys that will give more bulk behind those defensive tackles. And Devon Ellis is a guy that's already 302 to begin with. So, yeah, you're right. They needed to have that bulk in there, especially against a running attack like that.
This is year 10, right, for James Franklin as the head coach. Did a great job before there. Has done a great job bringing the program back up. Is he still somehow underrated as a head coach in college football?
Yeah, I think, you know what, I feel like anybody who has not brought their team to the college football playoff will be a little bit underrated because there's so much concentration on the four-team playoff. And look, for Penn State, that's the goal, to get there and be a part of that, you know, this year. They've been close a couple of times. If they'd had the 12-team playoff before, Penn State would have been in it four times. And I think any coach that's not there yet will be a little underrated, and everybody has their own circumstances as to what they have to deal with to get to this point. And James had to do a lot to get this program to this point. And this is the best position he's been in as head coach. He's done a great job recruiting, building it, and they really have done a terrific job with player development.
Steve, what's the fan base's reaction to all of the conference changes? Are they excited for new members? Do they prefer tradition? What's the overall reaction been?
That's a great question because I was speaking in Hershey last week, and somebody asked me a question about Washington coming in. And when the person was asking the question, everybody in the room groaned. Like, really? And I just kind of just let it out because I thought it was an interesting reaction. And I think people are traditionalists. College sports has always been regional. This is the first foray into a real national conference coast to coast. And I think in time, I'll say this, everybody's jobs just got harder.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean across the board. I mean, you know, Lincoln Riley, Andy Enfield, Mick Cronin, Chip Kelly, Dana Altman, Dan Lanning, Mike Hopkins, Kalen DeBoer, their jobs next year are going to get harder. Conversely, Juwan Howard, right? Jim Harbaugh, Ryan Day, Chris Holtman, Mike Rhodes, and James Franklin, their job's going to get harder because the conference is just going to be deeper with quality teams. Now, you with a 12-team playoff next year, you'll be able to absorb a couple of losses and still be able to make it. But the depth of the conference is going to improve dramatically. But I found the reaction of the crowd when the question was asked to be really interesting. And it's not the first time I've heard it. I think when the Oregon-Washington thing in some ways turned some people here off.
Yeah, it's a lot. And for a guy sitting here in New York who, you know, growing up kind of outside the full college experience, a lot of the movements don't personally affect me, but it doesn't make sense that the Pac-12 is basically gone, and I always think geography should win out. And, you know, Penn State football is one thing, but Penn State soccer or baseball, softball, whatever it is, having to go to Washington is never going to make sense to me for a conference game.
They're going to have to – that's the most difficult part, and I'm glad you brought that up, because football and basketball you can figure out.
Yes.
Okay? It's everything else. I mean, and that's the toughest – element, I think, for the Big Ten office is how do you handle soccer? How do you handle baseball? How do you handle softball, volleyball, because they play multiple times a week. And so how do you handle that? And do you put together in-season tournaments or, you know, neutral locations? I don't know. But that, to me, is where the difficulty comes in. Football and basketball, for the most part, are relatively easy. I always talk about, when I talk about scheduling, I always say, look, on degree of difficulty, Manhattan Project 10, scheduling less than one. This is going to bring with it some tricks of the trade.
Yeah. Steve, last question. I came across this last night. What is the Steve Jones Student Sports Broadcasting Complex?
Rick and Sue Berry, and Rick Berry is somebody, the first day I went to class at Penn State in 1976, I sat down and he sat next to me. We became lifelong friends. And Rick ended up having a really successful career. And so he and Sue donated money to a broadcast center that is located in Rec Hall on campus. And he did not want to put his name on it, so he put my name on it. And it is a fully a loaded studio with all the state-of-the-art equipment that's used at ESPN, Fox, and so forth that really helps train young people here on the state-of-the-art equipment that are used at the networks. And, you know, it's one of those that gives students every advantage possible. It just happens to have my name on it.
Well, as a proud graduate of a student broadcasting system at Fordham University, that's an amazing gift from Rick Berry. It's amazing that your name is on it, and giving back to the next generation is a great thing. And you're not kidding. I mean, even in the description, it says Richard Berry. So it never clicked in my head that it was Rick Berry.
Well, no, it's not the basketball player, Rick.
Oh, so I am still an idiot.
No. That's okay. It's okay to ask the question. But, you know, hey, Fordham.
Didn't do me well here.
Hey, yeah, the Fordham, Vince Scully, Mike Breen, I think.
Yeah, we're doing well, but we don't have anybody's name on anything yet. And whichever Rick Berry this is, I appreciate his gift, and I'm sorry for confusing him with the NBA player.
Oh, that's okay, because I've played the basketball with this Rick Berry. He doesn't quite have the same shot.
Steve, this was fun. Safe travels. Have a tremendous season. I assume we'll be playing your highlights from some big wins all season long here on the show. So, again, thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon.
I had a great time talking with you. Great job. Thanks so much.
There's Steve Jones, the voice of Penn State football, not a friend of Rick Berry, basketball legend. Started off really well. It's a good story. And then I ended it poorly. But it's fine. I apologize for that. Tiki Barber apologized for something yesterday. It's not what we demanded of him and his new coworkers, but it's something. A quick discussion of that, and then hopefully a flawless football conversation with Oregon voice Jerry Allen. He's next on the DA show as well on CBS Sports Radio. So Moist Pork created a lot of problems on today's show by trashing a 9-year-old guest in his house for asking for hot cocoa. That trouble included today's epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Moist Pork joining us on Trash Tuesday.
I got a lot of meat on my bones.
Good morning. My 9-year-old had a sleepover and her friend wanted hot cocoa for breakfast. We didn't have any instant. So she tells me a recipe her mother uses, heating up milk, baking cocoa, confectioner's sugar. I looked at her and said, nope, what cereal do you want? Trash her.
Is Oscar the Grouch living in there?
I want to be on his side here, but I've got to point out that most responses to this tweet have not been kind to Moise for trashing a 9-year-old for wanting hot cocoa.
I think you're an idiot.
He's fine.
He's fine.
You can't go to someone's house expecting them to cook something for you.
Kind of a bum.
But you're 9. I think I don't know that you know what you're asking for.
But have the whole recipe memorized.
Oh. I go in a urinal, I go in the stall, wherever.
Yeah, I think the better play is to just say, oh, I don't have that stuff either. Like, I don't have...
I'm Team Moist Pork. It's Lucky Charms or nothing, sweetie.
Good luck catching me in your charm world.
Kids got to learn.
Yeah. I think you can let her down gently.
It's not a diner.
That was the taste. I bet you can't wait for the entree.
When you go to somebody else's house, it's not a diner.
And down the stretch they come.
We tell our kids that all the time.
And you are going to like it.
We get invited over somewhere. You deal with it until we leave.
Smacked by sausage and peppers.
Nathan and I will always have the same conversation with the kids. We're going over for dinner at so-and-so's house. If you don't like what they have, just, you know, nibble on it and don't complain about it. And when we leave, if you're still hungry, we will stop somewhere, drive through, and get you something to eat. So stop complaining when somebody is nice enough to invite you over to their house.
All right.
Food is family.
Moist. This room, you've got our support.
I didn't need to hear that.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Three-fourths of the room are on Moist's side, and so is the overwhelming majority to our poll question. Are you obligated to cook something from scratch for a guest at your child's sleepover? 51 people voted, and 90% of that, so that's what, 45%? Said no, you are not obligated to make something from scratch for a guest at your child's sleepover. Just 10% of us voted yes to being a nice host at your 9-year-old daughter's sleepover. So I want to thank Moist Pork, though, for at least producing content on a Trash Tuesday. Two different ways he went about that for us. A poll question, an epic fail. That's a lot of DA show bingo on a Tuesday from Moist Pork. Tommy Topspin is, I guess, on my side here. I love the guy, but I'm trashing Moist Pork for not having hot cocoa in the house. Are we against this scrumptious fall-winter drink? I mean, pumpkin spice is already out. Hashtag you need to eat like this. Hashtag Swiss miss.
I smell rotten eggs.
Aaron, I'm trashing our kid's school bus. Schedule pickup 8:20. We get there 8:05. Proceed to wait until 8:40. Still no bus. So I had to take them. Hashtag, how could it happen? Hashtag, mine eyes.
Totally gross, dude.
I mean, at that point, the kids don't go to school, right? I mean, that's the conclusion you reach. The bus didn't come. It's a free day. And that's on the bus, not on me.
I don't want the kids home. I would bite the bullet and drive them.
Yeah, no, you take them to school. Get them out of my hair.
Sorry.
Get out of here. We just got the update that the bus stop actually moved closer to our house. So now my wife thinks she can just watch the kids walk halfway down the block and wait for the bus. Doesn't have to leave our front little walkway.
Just wave out the window. See you later.
And then they can come home by 15 steps on their own, too. That's a big win for the Bogish family. Huge thanks to Steve Jones and to Jerry Allen this morning. My thanks to Kevin Wald, to Ryan, and to Schwartz. Tomorrow, a Caserta in the house as well, plus more college football preview. But for now, the mothership disconnects.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.